Thank you very much. And Mike isn't here because they're in the emergency room with their son who fell out here running to the car this evening after school, and they think he might have broke a couple fingers. Little Ethan. Caleb. Yeah. And so you pray for them boys, how boys are. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 5, if you will. Going to do the second half of this, John chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading, actually, in verse 15. John chapter 5, some interesting things here. You know, there's John, of course, is telling us about who Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's God, and he tells us that over and over again. And, you know, the Lord kind of laid aside some of his rights, but he could do everything that God said, okay, do it. And he would do it. And he could do it. And so he's a son of God, but he's also God the Son, and he's also the Son of Man. And so we see some different perspectives on Christ. And it's interesting, I think I mentioned this last week, we forget who Jesus is. I think sometimes we forget who God is. Now, how do we know that? Well, if you ever hear somebody use the Lord's name in vain, when you use the Lord's name in vain, you've kind of forgotten who he is. Or you wouldn't use his name that way. You wouldn't disrespect his name that way if you remembered who he was. They say, well, I don't know who he is, but I just wasn't thinking about it at the time. Well, and I understand that too. But then we don't let who he is have the gravity, the weight in our heart that he should. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh. And we sometimes get ourselves kind of a little big for ourselves. We get too comfortable. And we talk about Jesus says my bro, you know, or something crazy like that. And yes, he is. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, that's right. To find mercy and help in time of need. You know, you don't walk up to the judge of the Supreme Court and say, hey, dude, what you thinking? You see, we laugh at that. We say, well, that's not right. It's right. But he's just a man. I mean, we're not even Catholic. But you wouldn't walk up to the Pope and say, hey, Jack, what's up? You know, we're not even Catholic, but we wouldn't do that. And yet we will second guess God. We will basically judge what he's doing. It's almost as if, well, if I can't understand it, then I'll have to determine whether it's good or bad once I understand what he's trying to do. And if I can't understand what he's trying to do, then he's probably not right. Or I don't have to obey him. Or I don't have to respect what God says to do if I don't understand why he wants me to do it or what he's telling me to do. And that's kind of, we give the Pharisees a hard time about that, and the scribes and the priests. The fact is, we do the same thing. We'll see in the Word of God exactly what God told us to do, and it's kind of like, well, you know what? Probably one of these days I'll do that. If I get around to it. And that's why I've titled these two messages here, Judged by the Judged. He is the judge. We are the ones who are going to be judged. And we, the judged, are judging him. So in our story here, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he goes by the pool in Bethesda. There have five porches there. And there's a man there who has not been able to walk and hasn't been able to walk for 38 years. And Jesus takes notice of him and actually kind of marks the fact that he's been there a long time. Now, Jesus hasn't been there in that same city for 38 years, but he's been coming up with mom and dad until just a few years ago. Now he comes up himself, the Passover, the feast, or whatever. So my guess is he's seen this man before. And he basically said, well, why are you laying here? What do you want? Do you want to be made whole? He says, well, Every time I try to get in the pool, somebody gets in there ahead of time because you've got to be the first one in when the angel comes down and troubles the water. Well, says, so you want to be made whole? Well, says, well, yeah, but he says, okay, get up. And it happened to be the Sabbath day. And as Jesus has said before, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, it's amazing how somebody, and I'll be honest with you, we independent fundamental Baptists can be pretty good examples of this, where you didn't do it the way we were always told you're supposed to do it, so we can't be friends with you. I'll be honest with you, I think there's some things that are wrong. I think there aren't, we can go across some lines. The fact is, we probably crossed some lines. The Pharisees technically did everything right, but they crossed some lines and they were wrong. They were wrong in the way they did right. I'm not down, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I don't want to be anything else. Paul Chappell said, he was asked one day, he said, if you were an independent fundamental Baptist, what would you be? He said, I'd be ashamed. Now, I'm not going to beat people up over if they're not. I feel like this is what we ought to be. But I've got some brethren that if we're not careful, we can jump down everybody's throat if they don't do exactly, dot all their I's the way we do and cross all their T's the way we do and say things the way we say it and dress the way we dress and do, we can get ourselves in trouble. And the Pharisees were saying, here's Jesus, and he's doing wrong by doing good. Now, let me say this. The end does not justify the means. So I did good, so it doesn't matter that I did wrong. He did wrong according to their law. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He didn't do anything wrong. The Sabbath was made for man to rest in him, to trust in God, to provide their needs. So they didn't say, well, you know, if I better work one more day because I probably won't have enough money. They said, you'll have enough. We figured, I taught you that when the manna came out of heaven. Every day you had just enough for one day, except Friday morning, you're gonna get two because you're not gonna go out and get any. You get twice as much on Friday mornings because you're not gonna be able to go back out on Saturday morning because that's the Sabbath. Well, I'll take care of you. And say, we gotta learn to do the same thing. So they gave him a hard time and they decided to judge. And they came to the man who was healed. They said, who was it? He said, I don't know. All I know is I was walking out. I'm not. So, I mean, you know, he told me to. Why did you pick up your bed? Well, the guy who healed me told me to. And if you can heal me, then I'll listen to you too. And so we get to verse 15. It says, the man departed and told the Jews. Of course, Jesus found him in the temple and told him who he was and so forth. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Now look at that. Jesus was the one who made the man whole. Therefore, they persecute Jesus. Sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. This is the way God works. This is the way I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now we're going to get into the rest of these verses here. Let's pray and move as fast as we can. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us not to be guilty of being the judge of the judge. May we come to the judge for mercy, knowing that you are always right. And if we don't understand why you're right, then we're wrong. And we just need to learn why you're right. Or if we can't even understand why you're right, we need to just accept you're right because you're the judge. Lord, allow us to humble ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves before you. We may find grace and mercy in your eyes. Lord, we ask for your spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we found out last week that Romans 5 tells us, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And we should. We should. And sometimes we get knocked around just because we're trying to do right. But do our best to live peaceably. In 2 Timothy, he said, though, that yea, all that will live godly will in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If they persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute you. Don't expect any different. Why? Because we're going along with him. Why is that? Because he says in John 3, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest our deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And Jesus told us, let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So we're running around shining our light. Now we shine our light. If we do it right, we're shining the light of Christ out of us, through us. And so the light of Christ is coming out. And the light of Christ is coming out that's going to glorify God. And so it's going to show truth and righteousness. And as soon as you do that, it shines a light on everything else around it. And if it's not truth and righteousness, it's going to show it for what it is. Sin. And you know what? Most of us don't like our sins coming to the forefront. So number one, we found Jesus innocently, compassionately did good. We're not going to get all through that. He was out, either going around and went about doing good, Acts 10 says. Number two, Jesus judged for doing good because of the ignorant pride of the judge. And it's amazing, and we've all seen it, where churches have split up and they're all mad at each other. By the way, only by pride come with contention, and one saying, I'm standing on the Bible, another said, I'm standing on the Bible, probably neither one of them is. Because if they were, they wouldn't act like they're doing. They wouldn't act like they're acting. And we just got to be careful with that. In fact, the more you know Christ, the more you're going to act like Christ. The more you're going to desire to live peaceably with all men. That doesn't mean you compromise truth. It means you stand on truth. That you put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, you stand. But you stand in truth and love. You don't stand in ignorance and anger and malice and clamor and evil speaking and all this other junk. Well, I'm doing it for God's sake. He's a big boy. He can take care of himself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. You stand on truth and leave it go at that. No, we're not going to do that. No, I'm sorry, we just can't. Because this is what the Bible says. That's okay. Well, they'll get mad at me. Well, that's okay. Now, you may be, with all you can, live at peace with all men, but that doesn't mean you're always going to be able to live peace. Jesus didn't live peace with all men. All he did was let his light shine. Healed a man who'd been unable to walk for 38 years, and he did it on the Sabbath day, and all of a sudden he's a dirty dog, and they want him dead. That's not his fault. It's their fault. A little further down, we found that Jesus was doing what God wants him to do. He says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, that should be our motto, too. I'm just going to do what the Father would do. What would Jesus do? And I know that was a saying some years ago. What would Jesus do? But I'll be honest with you, that's not such a bad thought. Now, don't start putting your own definitions of what Jesus do. Look in the book and find out what Jesus did and what the principles of God says you're supposed to do. Then you'll know what Jesus would do. Number three, we found the world hates us because the world hates truth. The world hates truth because truth shines out and shows darkness for what it is. Letter B, we found the closer you get to the Lord and the more the Lord is seen in you, the more the world that wants to do as it pleases will hate you. The more you do right, the chances are the more the world's going to hate you. You may have friends who turn their back on you. They don't like, he says, all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. It says in John 15:21. They do for my name's sake because they know not him that sent me. You turn on the light and you go, all of a sudden you can see things. But I love God. Well, if you hate Jesus, who's God, then you can't say you love God. Number four, Jesus is serving the Father as a spirit-filled man. Now, he is all God. I understand that. And I'll be honest with you, maybe I don't always explain it the best as I should. That's a difficult thing to understand. He is all God, and yet he, in humility, he took on the form of a servant, not only to us, but to the Lord, the Father. And he always does those things that the Father would want him to do. In fact, he says, he says, I always doeth those things. The Father and the Son show all things that himself doeth. He says, the Son can do, verse 19, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son alike. There be the Father and the Son are equal in power. If God can do it, Jesus can do it. But the fact is, he says, and the Comforter is going to come, greater works shall ye do. We can live as a Spirit-filled man and do what God wants us to do. Peter and John raised an impotent man at the temple, beautiful. Fellow that couldn't walk, lame guy, he went dancing into the temple. They did the same thing that Jesus did in our passage here. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go around and be healers. If that's what God wants to have done, that's fine. Sometimes it's not what God wants done. And, of course, what he was trying to do was show that he was Jesus, and then he's trying to show that these men are continuing the work of Christ. Letter C, the Father and the Son are equal in authority. Now, here's where we kind of get in verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So in other words, letter D, to dishonor the Son is to dishonor the Father who gave the Son his authority. We talked about that last week. So I believe in God, but don't talk to me about Jesus. That's not the way it works. That's like saying, I appreciate the pastor, but his son Nathan, now he's an awful guy. I don't like him at all. Well, I'm not going to like you talking about my son that way, especially if it's not true. To dishonor him is kind of dishonor me, even more so because Jesus is God. That are either hear the Son is to hear the Father. If you're not going to hear, verse 24, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and hath not come into the condemnation, but has passed from life, from death into life. Well, I would believe the Bible, but not going to believe in Jesus. Or I'll believe in Jesus, but not going to, I've heard some people say, well, I believe the New Testament, but I don't want to have anything to do with the Old Testament. Well, the same person wrote both of them. Now, different men wrote it down, but it's all God's word. God is not schizophrenic. He wasn't one thing in the Old Testament. Now he's something different. He was telling us a part of the story. When we started this whole thing going through the Bible, I said, this is one grand sermon on the redemption of man. I don't know if you remember that way back. This is one grand sermon. And each of these books are like a major point in the sermon of God. And so the Old Testament was the first part of the sermon. And he was telling us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. There's none that is righteous. No, not one. No one is justified by the law. In fact, the laws are schoolmasters to prove that we're not justified, that we've all come short of the glory of God, and that we need a Savior. Then the New Testament comes in and says, here's the Savior that you've been wanting all this time. This is him. It's all part of the same thing. Letter F. The judge is our only hope of life. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's him. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son that hath life in himself. Watch. And hath given him the authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of God. Now, Jesus Christ is the judge. But he's the Son of God. Now, it's just like when we stand in front of a judge at a courtroom, your only hope really is that judge. Because what he says is what's going to happen. You say, well, I'm at his mercy. You better believe you're at his mercy. And he could have said, now, he's human, and he may just almost flip a coin decide you know, which side of the bed he got up this morning. Or whether he and his wife are doing well. How's your son? That made a break. Just sprained him real bad? Well, amen. Well, that's good. That's good. Amen. He's got to play the cello. We got to keep those fingers on one piece. That's good. Amen. A lot of doubts up here already, but we got a few more yet to come. So we're just working on that. But no, that's good. That's good. The judge is our only hope. So don't go around bad-mouthing the judge. Jesus has every right to judge because he has been where we are. He's a great high priest. We saw this last week, Hebrews 4, that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Was all points tempted such as we, yet without sin. But yet so we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find and obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So rather than judging the judge, here we are, we need to be plead for the mercy of the judge. Letter G, when we trust God's provision, we will not be judged. We will come to the mercy. Number five, here's some new stuff here, real quick. Number five. Kind of pull it all together here. We will face the true judge. We will face the true judge. And Jesus Christ is going to judge us. The judgment seat of Christ. We will face the judgment. We will also face the Bema seat. That Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. But then there's the great white throne judgment. Now, those are for those who've decided to receive Christ or haven't. If your name's in the book of life, you're good to go. If your name's not in the book of life, you're in trouble. Of course, God already knows those. And then at the end of everything, before he makes a new heaven, new earth, he's going to bring everybody up from the dead. And it says they're going to be judged out of the books. But these were the ones who didn't rise with the rapture. These are ones who were not dead in Christ. They were just dead. Dead in sin and trespasses. And they will rise up, and it makes it sound like it will judge them out of the book. You'll see, okay, that's where you were in the books. Now, everybody's actually wrong in the books. You realize that? If we're judged by the books, we're in trouble. So everybody who's judged by the book, for there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody who's judged by the book is going to come up short of the glory of God. So they're going to be judged by the book. And then it's going to say, so there you are, a sinner. And then it says it's going to pull out the book of life, to see whether your name is written in the book of life. How do you get that there? By receiving Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. By admitting, I can't own up to those books. All I can do is go to the judge and find mercy. Those who seek mercy from the judge, because they know they're already guilty, will receive it. You realize that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, have mercy on me. If you mean it in your heart, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. If you believe that with your heart, even though the judge says you're guilty, you should be in hell. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He commanded his love towards while we're yet sinners, Christ. And listen, his love says, you mean that, don't you? All right, pardon this man. I mean, I'm not saying pardon me. I mean, pardon him as a governor pardons an execution. Pardon this man. Give him my mercy. Come into the heavens. We will be judged by the true judge. Letter A, those who have been judging the judge will be judged by the judge. You get that figured out? Those who have been judging the judge will be judged by the judge. Look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Count on it. There you go. But remember, they also said to Christ, what are the works that we should do? He says to believe on the name of the only begotten Son. That's the works. Believe in Christ. That's the work you've got to do. That's hard work sometimes because we got to humble ourselves. So those who have been judging the judge will be judged by the judge. You know what? That's kind of like going in front of a judge and he's had a wiretap on you and you've been bad-mouthing him, telling everybody what a awful guy he is and how hard-nosed he is and unfair he is and wrong and you know what, he does this himself and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you get before the judge and then he turns that tape on, that recording, and says, here's what I've been hearing. We're going to be judged by the one we've been judging. And if we, but you know what? On this side, of, we can't wait till we get before him at the, in the courtroom of heaven and say, well, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. It's too late at that point. You got to stop and tell him you're sorry before you stand before him. That's right now. Sometime between now and the day you die. And since we don't know when the day we're going to die, it probably would be best to take care of it as soon as you can. Immediately. ASAP. And then the recording of the judge says, you know, I heard you were sorry. And I heard you standing up for me. And I heard, though you didn't agree with me, you knew that I was righteous and true and just in what I was doing. And you made sure everybody else knew it too. You said you want, and you asked for, and you were saying you were hoping to get my mercy. Well, you got it. Amen. Letter B. Jesus is a just judge, judging only by the authority given to him. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, I know that he's God, but he put himself into the form of a servant. Now, the fact is, I know that Jesus is God, and he's God, he is the God of the Father. He told Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I understand that. And I don't know everything, how you, in fact, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but we all know what that's, it's there, the concept is there. And God knows all things. So when the nails went in Jesus' hand, I know that God knew what it felt like. I don't know how that was, how that's all separated or not, but pardon me if I kind of say it this way, maybe so we can understand, and I think that's why Jesus came down as a human, in mortal flesh, so that we can understand it, know that he understands, tempted all matters such as we. He was one that was whipped within an inch of his life and hadn't done anything wrong. He was the one who had had a crown of thorns put on his head and beat on there with a rod. He was the one that had that scarlet robe put on his back after he'd been whipped. And after it had a chance to dry, they tore it off like one big band-aid on an open wound. He was the one that they put the splintered cross on the back and told him to carry it up to Calvary. He was the one they drove the nails in through his hands and his feet. He was the one that they mocked after he got up there and spit on him. He was the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was the one when they said, save yourself. He says he's God. He can save everybody else, but he can't save himself. He was the one. And then watch me. That's like having a camera in the parking lot and you key the judge's car. And then you go stand there. He says, I know what you just did. And humanly speaking, the judge says, you haven't learned a thing, have you? Throw him in the clink and throw away the key. But see, Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't retaliate. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy? To have us, whom he loved. You see, that's almost, you say, well, I'm not sure I understand. I understand that you don't understand. I don't think any of us can fully understand the love of God. Could we withink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, and were every man on earth, I'm sorry, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's the judge that we stand before. Now don't go before that judge trying to justify anything. You go to the judge. Here's how it works. You go and fall at his mercy. And he says, all right. I've already paid for it. We might as well put it to use. Listen, the punishment isn't to hurt you. It's not to retaliate or retribution. The punishment is really, even the punishment of God is to get our attention so that we'll come back and repent. If we've already repented and we're looking for mercy, we don't need the punishment. Now, you say, well, what's hell? Hell's not punishment. Hell was your choice that you didn't want God in your life. And you died not accepting God, not wanting God in your life, and when you enter eternity, you get your wish. Everything that's not God. And it was your choice. With a judge like that, how dare we judge him? He's the just judge. Let us see. Those that judge others are not accepting the just judgment of the true judge. Look at verse 31. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness witnesseth of me is true. God's telling you who he is. So we don't accept Christ, and we're not accepting the word of God. Number six, let's move on quickly. We must accept the veracity, the truthfulness. V-E-R-A-C-I-T-Y. We must accept the veracity of the true judge. Letter A. The verbal witness of John of the authority of Jesus. They should have known who he was, but they didn't accept it. Verse 33, Jesus is going on. He says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But you basically threw him out. John told you who I am. You didn't want to hear it. Letter B, the visible witness of the miracles of Jesus. The visible witness, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, that bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. We need to accept the veracity of the true judge. John told us, the word has told us who he is. They had the word there. And then they saw the visible evidence, the things they did. And they had just seen him heal that man from his lame condition. Letter C, the verified witness of the word of God. The verified witness of the word of God. Verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word, abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. He said, listen, if you had been reading the word of God, and then, listen, not just reading it like the newspaper, but he said, soaking it in as it is, the word of God, meditating therein day and night, that's Old Testament. That's not New Testament, that was Old Testament. Psalm 1, Joshua 1, 8, get the word of God, get it in there, listen, memorize it, abide in it so that you will observe to do according to all that's written therein. You'll know what it is. Listen, don't tell me. Listen, those who are judging the judge are doing so in their ignorance, ignorant pride. I already said, they don't know the word of God. Jesus said, listen, it's verifying the word of God. Look at verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them that ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You think you got eternal life because of the scriptures. Well, you do. But who do they talk about? That's what he's saying. Me, Jesus Christ. And yet you want to judge me and throw me out. I think you have a letter D there. We claim the position of judge, but our own lives testify against our right to be the judge. We go around telling everybody else what they should have been doing. I'll tell you what, you know what? There's a lot of that going on. Now, they were doing it to Jesus himself, and we better watch it when you just simply say, I don't think God's doing this right. You get mad at God. Listen, you get bitter at God. You just judged God. That's dangerous ground to stand on. And the fact is, after a while, you'll think he's being a big old bully pushing his weight around. No, he said, you don't need me as God? All right, I'll tell you, I'll let you be tossed to the disposal of the world. Here it goes. Let's see what you got. Verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. So he says, I'm not receiving the honor of men. You don't let me know. You should know because the word of God talks about me. But he's saying, no one is recognizing and accepting Jesus for being the judge that he is. And he says, and I know you don't have the word of God because look, he says, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Listen, they were judging that poor man who just finally got his legs back, giving him a hard time for carrying his bed home. In fact, he didn't even carry it home. He carried it over to the temple to praise the Lord. He's been like that for 38 years, and all they can say is, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, and Jesus said, you know how I know you don't have the word of God in you? Because you don't have the love of God in you. We know that we pass from death and life because he has given us of his spirit. And what's his spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, gentleness, temperance. Do you see any of that in these religious leaders here? Give me an example. No fruit of the Spirit in there. But they're going to use the Word of God to... Listen, it's almost as if that lame man deserves to lose his ability to walk again because he did it on the Sabbath day. We get so skewed in our view of truth and righteousness. Amazing. He says, we know the Lord is not leading your judgment because the very essence of God, which is love, is not being exercised in their judgment. Letter E. We try to justify our denial of Jesus as judge and turn around, we use the same reasoning to accept the judgment of men. Now watch me. Verse 43. You'll understand what I'm saying here. I am come to my Father's name and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. He said, God has shown you who I am. The word of God has shown you who I am. It told you that when I come, the blind are going to see, the lame are going to walk. You see this happening. John the Baptist told you who I was. And yet you don't want to receive that. But if some guy comes along and he's from 50 miles away and carries a briefcase and calls himself an expert, him you'll listen to. It's like this. Somebody will say, well, the Bible is just a book written by men. Well, how do you know that? Well, so-and-so wrote it in his book. I can guarantee you that his book has not come true like the prophecies in this book has. 88 reasons why Christ was going to come in 1988. 89 reasons why he's going to come in 1989. Well, we messed up that one. We are more concerned about what others think and not about what God thinks. What others think may or may not be true. He says, you'll listen to some man when he said, we go around, we pat each other on the back. And we'll come and we'll say, we're good guys. Well, I know we're good guys because he's a good guy. And, you know, he has good testimony. How do we know he's a good guy? I just told you he's a good guy. You didn't catch that. He's a good guy because I said he is. And I'm a good guy because he said I am. That's the way the world uses evolution. You realize that? That's how they date the fossils and the strata. They'll say, well, we know that this layer of ground is so many millions of years old because it has these fossils in it, and those fossils are from that time. And then you have this guy over here, and he says, now we know these fossils are of this particular million, so many millions of years old. We know that because they're in the strata that has been designated from that time. Are you following what I'm saying? They don't know hoot. Listen. How do they know their carbon dating is working? Were they there? Could they justify it? No. They can't. There's too many variables, too many assumptions. Don't let it bother you. They are just simply circular reasoning. Verse 44 says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? In other words, how can you believe in God and his rightful place when you're running, when you're more worried about getting somebody else to pat you on the back? And you know, again, denominations and preachers do that. I don't get mad at me, but sometimes TV preachers do that. One says he's a good authority because he knows that guy's going to say that he's a good authority. And because they all click together and pat each other on the back, then we say, oh, wow, they must. Yeah, I heard he knows what he's talking about. I heard that guy knows what he's talking about. Now, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But maybe we just should see where they are in the Word of God. Letter G. Now, who is Jesus? He's the just judge, right? And he's the one that those of us who are judging people are going to be judged by. He's the just judge. He's the true judge. But he's a loving judge if we will fall on our knees and ask for mercy. Look at letter G. Jesus is not here to accuse us, but to save us. Now, this is out of John 3, but we've already covered that passage, but look what it says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, here's the thing. He has to turn on the light so we can see that we need to be saved. He's not here to judge us, though by the time we finish being around Jesus, we feel judged. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, we did the Pinewood Derby with the Cub Scouts, you know. And there you stand there with your, when it's all said and done, there you stand there with your car and you look at everybody else and you came in 52nd. Wheel fell off at the bottom at the finish line. Paint job has splinters. And you're looking at everybody else. But they don't have to do anything, but you just simply stand beside, you know, the one that beat everybody else. And so helping you know, you're sure you saw exhaust come out of the pipes in the back. And it's so slick, anything that sits on just slides right off the paint job. And you feel judged just by being close by. And when the Lord shows up, we can feel judged, but don't let your pride be getting your way or make you try to justify why you did this or didn't do that. Let's just accept where we are. And the fact is, we can get first place by his mercy. I say first place, right up there with everybody else, we get to go in. We get to stand in the winner's circle. Not because we've earned it, but because we admitted that we didn't earn it. That's not funny, but there it is. He'll give it to you. He said, I didn't come to judge you. I came to give you life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He said, I didn't need to come down and condemn. You're already condemned because you're not looking to find mercy from the judge because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. You haven't said you need the judge. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I didn't judge you. I didn't condemn you, the Lord says. Truth condemned you. Let's go back to our passage now in John 5, verse number 8 there. The law condemns us. Jesus only pronounces the verdict. The law condemns us. Jesus only pronounces the verdict. 5:45 says, do not think that I will accuse you. Look, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Listen, if you're full of grace and truth, you're full of the Father, you're full of Spirit and light, you're not going to go around accusing people. Anybody has the right to accuse people is Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ isn't going to accuse him. And the fact is, we're as guilty as the one we're accusing. If we really know who God is, we're not running out accusing. We're just simply praising him to mercy. Don't think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you. Watch. Even Moses, in whom you trust. What's that? For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? You can kind of say it this way. The law, the word of God, judges us. The condemnation is already in place. Jesus only is offering us a pardon if we will admit that our sinfulness and our condemnation and our need for redemption. Number 7, don't say you believe in Jesus without also believing in the law. You know, without the law, we don't need Jesus. There's no condemnation there. The law condemns us. Shows us where the law was. The strength of sin is the law, 1 Corinthians 15. How do we know we're sinners? Look at the law. Tells us. Now, why did he do that? Make us feel bad to condemn us? No, we're already condemned. Just as simply to open up the mirror so we knew that we were already condemned, so that we'd have enough sense to say, I'm going to go to the judge and I'm going to ask for mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go ask for mercy. You never know. We'll see what happens. And then we get to the judge and he said, well, you know what? Actually, I've already paid for it. So all you needed to do was ask. It's done. Look. See, I've already paid for it. Some folks want to preach grace without preaching the law. But without the law, we don't need the grace. We want grace to forgive us from our own laws. That's what the Hebrews do. But anyway, man has the audacity to judge Jesus when in reality it is Jesus who is the judge. Let me stop right there. That's it. Judged by the judged. I'll tell you, that's probably one of the biggest things that Christians need to remember. We are so busy thinking we're going to live up to what God wants us to do. Now, we should seek. He that hath his hope that purifieth himself even as he is pure. It's not saying, Lord, did you see that good work? Lord, did you see that good work? No, get out the junk. Just get the sin out. If you sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you. Get the sin out. Get the sin out. That's what we want. Get the sin out. And just throw yourself at the mercy of the judge. That's what we're looking for. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the way you love us. No one ever loved us like you have loved us. Sometimes we don't understand. I know we go around and give you a hard time. But Lord, your love is amazing. It's beyond knowledge. You know us. You know every iota, every little tiny bit of who we are and what's in our heart and what we've done and what we're going to do. And yet you allow us to come to you and find mercy. Lord, praise your name. Praise your name. Lord, thank you. Speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.